You're listening to Accounting Best Practices, the podcast that covers the latest in accounting standards and management. Your host is Steve Bragg, a CPA and accounting author. Stay tuned as Steve covers accounting best practices.
Welcome to episode 360. This episode comes from a listener in Indonesia. And his question is, please talk about the accounting for ships, as in oil tankers and container ships. Not lobster boats. But first, if you like science fiction, but were always bothered by the absence of accountants, then I have the fix for you. I've just published my first science fiction novel, and it's called Under an Autumn Sun, the first book in what will eventually be a trilogy. And best of all, it has over 1,000 forensic accountants and more than 500 auditors. Just what you've always wanted. Available now in paperback or on your Kindle. So, getting back to the accounting for ships, let's talk about revenue. Ship owners have come up with lots of revenue-generating contracts, but as a general rule, they're designed to recognize revenue on a daily basis, not at the end of a voyage. For example, a ship might be rented out under what's called a time charter, where it's rented out for a specific period of time. Under this arrangement, the crew obeys the orders of the charterer, who directs where the ship goes and what types of cargoes it will carry. The ship owner charges a fixed amount per day, and the charterer pays for pretty much everything else. Or you might have a voyage charter, where the ship owner is paid to get from point A to point B. In this case, revenue is recognized by using a reasonable estimate of the progress towards completion of the voyage. In this case, you can recognize revenue every day, based on the percentage of voyage completion. In addition to that, the ship owner might receive something called a ballast bonus, which requires some explanation. In some cases, the ship owner has to move the ship to a port where there's a cargo in need of a pickup. If the ship is empty during that transfer, the ship owner is moving the ship for free. But if the cargo owner is desperate, which usually means that there aren't any other available ships, then this party pays the ship owner a ballast bonus, which offsets the cost of the voyage to the loading port. And in some cases, a ship owner might receive a subsidy from the government in order to operate on a route that would otherwise be unprofitable. This is pretty common when the government wants to run supplies into a dinky little island in the middle of nowhere that only has a tiny population. There are lots of other revenue types, but that gives you a feel for it. Next, let's look at some of the more unique expenses that a ship owner might incur. The main cost for a ship is fuel, of course, which can get pretty interesting. A ship owner could enter into a long-term contract with a fuel provider, which locks in the cost of the fuel. Or the owner could take his chances at the current spot rate, which can vary all over the place. If the choice is to go with the spot rate, then ship owners will keep track of where fuel is cheapest, and so might divert to a nearby port to take on lower cost fuel. And another point regarding fuel, this is not accounting. It's called bunker fuel, and it's basically tar sludge, which is the leftovers from an oil refinery. They have to mix other fuels into it to make it work in a ship's engines, but on a cool day, you can actually walk on bunker fuel. And if you're running that kind of gunk through the engines, it might not be a surprise that their engines sometimes stop, as was the case with the container ship that ran into the Baltimore Bridge. Anyways, there's also the cost of a vessel management company, which lots of ship owners use to hire the crew. This means that ship owners are not direct employers of the crew, which, by the way, usually come from low-cost countries with a strong seafaring tradition, such as India and the Philippines. And then there's the maintenance expense, which is the third largest expense. It starts fairly low when a ship is brand new and keeps increasing over the life of the vessel, which is usually about 25 years. At some point, it's just not economical to keep blowing money on the maintenance for an old ship, so it's sent to the breakers to be torn apart. Which brings up a depreciation issue, which is the salvage value of a ship. If you're planning to resell it prior to the end of its useful life, then the salvage value can fluctuate a lot based on the projected supply and demand for ships. Or, if you plan to keep it for the duration, then the salvage value is the market price of its steel. The fourth largest expense is insurance. Besides the usual insurance for the hull and machinery, there's also war risk insurance to cover damage caused by pirates. You also have kidnap and ransom insurance to cover the cost of negotiating with kidnappers and paying them off. Yeah, and you thought this was a boring accounting podcast, but we're talking about pirates. So let's touch on a few other good ones. Depending on where a ship is scheduled to travel, you might need to pay for armed guards during any transits through pirate-infested waters. And there may be the cost of crew training for how to repel boarders, and even insurance to cover the loss of profits if a ship is detained by pirates. Good stuff. Not quite as exciting are broker fees. Brokers line up the cargoes for a ship. The fee for this is about 2.5% to 3% of the freight fees earned. There are also consolidator fees. A consolidator firm receives items purchased on behalf of the ship owners, such as food supplies, and then breaks them down by individual ship, and then uses a freight forwarder to send them to the ports at which the owner ships are scheduled to arrive. And there are agent fees. These are local agents who represent the ship owner, who take care of whatever ship needs while it's in port. There are many more expenses, but I'll mention just a few. Dockage fees are charged when a ship is berthed alongside a pier, while wharfage fees are assessed if the ship owner uses a wharf to unload cargo. And then we have the port fee, which is the daily fee charged by the harbor operator. As you can see, there are many, many expenses associated with ships. That's why ship owners have really large accounting departments. A big item for ship owners is dry docking maintenance. This is a standard ship overhaul that takes place every 3 to 5 years when it's taken out of the water and thoroughly inspected and repaired. The proper accounting for this is to capitalize its cost and then depreciate it until the date of the next scheduled dry docking. So what you're doing is spreading the cost of the dry docking over the benefit period. A related issue is that any components of a vessel that are scheduled to be replaced at the next dry docking should be identified and tracked separately in the accounting records. They should be completely depreciated as of that dry docking date. And since lots of equipment is replaced over the lifetime of a ship, you can expect that all of them will be separately tracked. This means you could potentially have several hundred asset records associated with a single ship. One final accounting topic, which is impairment testing. This is the bit where you have to write down the value of an asset if its fair value is less than its carrying amount. This is a problem for ship owners because fair value is based on the supply of and demand for ships. There are periods when there are far too many ships being constructed, so their value drops. And on top of that, the fair value of a ship declines even more if the ship owner hasn't kept up on its maintenance. So as you might expect, impairment testing time can be somewhat fraught, with the auditors seeing the need for a massive write-down, while the ship owner claims that the current market conditions are short-term and fair values will come up again soon, or not. As you can probably tell, I really like this topic. And that's it. The complete text of this episode is posted on the Accounting Tools website. If you have an idea for a podcast episode, please contact me at podcast@accountingtools.com. Also, to take a CPE course or buy an accounting book, such as our Accounting for Ship Owners course, then please take a look at the accountingtools.com website. And don't forget my first science fiction novel, Under an Autumn Sun. Order it on your Kindle. And, as always, thank you for listening.